The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
So this week's parsha is Parshas Re'eh, and there are many mitzvahs in this week's parsha, but we will be discussing a topic which is so relevant and so disturbing. Isur Shrotzim, with tiny little insects, organisms, what are the limits of Isur Shrotzim? So in this week's parsha, Kol Sheretz wife, Tomei Hilochem, Loite Yuchelu, and the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs, Lo Ta'aseh, from Kufayin Gimel to Kufayin Ches, all the different prohibitions, all the sources of Isur, Machores Asurais, Minim HaTomeim. From this pasuk we learn flies, bees, little insects are also ba'achila. But before we start the shiur today, I want to dedicate this shiur l'refua shalema l'isha chashuva Luna Silvia bat Miriam, who was suffering from corona and from pneumonia, which usually comes together with corona. This disease is still with us, especially in Eretz Yisrael and many places in the world. And those that think it's over, it's not over. Those that think it's the flu, it's not the flu. It's a terrible disease. Yes, Baruch Hashem, the vast majority of people that come down with COVID-19 will get better and relatively without terrible symptoms, but not all of them will. Some of them will die. We had more than 600 deaths up to this moment in Eretz Yisrael, many more in Jewish communities throughout the world. And many of those that are no longer ill still suffer quite severe symptoms. I know some of them that still have difficulty breathing and terrible weakness and other symptoms. So Luna Silvia bat Miriam is a relatively young woman, as in her life is in danger. So we daven for her, and we dedicate today's shiur. L'refua shleima b'korev Luna Silvia bat Miriam. She should have a refua shleima and have many more wonderful years together with her choshev family. She has children, great talmida chachamim. So today we're dealing with a very troubling question, because with every passing day, we become more and more aware with the advance of technology and the advance of research, of tiny little insects that are everywhere, and many fruits and many vegetables we never dreamed in the past that they might be infested are. So we will be speaking especially on the size and tiny little insects which are very hard to remove from foodstuffs. Are they also, is there any room for leniency? So more than 200 years ago, with the advance of very primitive technology, people became aware of tiny little microorganisms in many different foodstuffs. I think the first one that speaks about this is the Chaya Odom, in Binas Odom Yoradeya Simelamed Daled. And he brings from Sefer HaBris, his predecessor, that in vinegar, researchers found that there are full of tiny little insects, creepers and crawlers that are everywhere, but especially in vinegar. So some rabbonim wanted to prohibit and say you cannot use vinegar, because if you look with a magnifying glass or a microscope, you'll see like tiny little animals swimming around in the vinegar. And the Chaya Odom says, no. What you cannot see with the naked eye, by halachic definition, is non-existent. So what you cannot see with the naked eye in regard to halacha doesn't exist. It has no halachic relevance, and there is no isur of teloi. Reb Shloime Kluger says the same. Tuv, tam, vedas, madura beis, kontras achren, semenun gimel. The Yorcha Shulchan says the same. Sima Pei Dalad Yuradeya Sif Lamed Vav. So the Ocher Shulchan says, it's not only vinegar, it's even water. When you took a cup of water and put it under the microscope, you'll see like tiny little worms and fish swimming around. Reb Moshe, Igris Moshe, the greatest halachic authority of our time, Yoredei Chelik Beis and Eben Ezra, I think it's Chelik Gimel, Chelik Beis and Nun Aleph. Reb Moshe says, well, we have those same little microorganisms in the air that you breathe. I don't really understand that Reb Moshe, so what? So what? Why confuse the pulmonary system with your digestive system? Two different systems. Yes, what you breathe goes into your lungs, not into your belly. What you eat goes into your belly. That is why we have the kona and the veshit. So there would be no iser breathing germs or breathing shrotzim. So the fact that you have these microorganisms in the air isn't relevant, but it is relevant in the water and the vinegar or anywhere else. So all these gedolim come to the very same conclusion. What the naked eye doesn't see does not exist, and therefore there is no iser taloim. And this basic principle, this fundamental principle, goes l'kula v'l'chumra. Teferes Yisrael, one of the greatest commentators on Mishnayos, Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, deals with a certain fish that seems to have a sleek skin, a sleek hide. You don't see kaskasim, you don't see scales. But with a microscope, you see that it has tiny little scales. Teferes Yisrael says that's also, because microscopic scales are not scales, they don't exist. So the Teferes Yisrael says the same principle, l'chumra, and regarding shrotzim, teloim, it is l'kula, but the principle is the same. What you cannot observe with the naked eye has no halachic relevance, and that is based on the principle, lo yinit n'toyre l'malachi ha'shores. Shalas ha'tshuvas min chasor, she'chelek alef simen mem alef, chelek beis simen nun gimel, but the more important tshuva is chelek alef simen mem alef. I have a very fundamental discussion about the mere concept, lo nitne Torah l'malach ha'eshores. And what I made clear there is, this sugya appears three times in Shas, and I brought 12 or 13 sources from the Paiskim and the Rishonim. And in most of these sources, we're not dealing something that man cannot do or cannot see. When Chazal say lo nitne l'malach ha'eshores, they don't really mean definitely, or dafka angels from above. In most of the sources, hein begemora, hein bepoiskim, we're dealing with something that is possible, it is doable, but it's very difficult. V'rochoi kloimar, that this is what the Torah expects from human beings, and that also is included in loinit nitoira malach ha'shores, which brings us to a very relevant question. So tiny little worms, you could see them with the naked eye, but it's difficult, it's hard. You need to look very well, and sometimes you need very special conditions to see those insects. So in the place can we find there are insects that you cannot see only connected to oil, when you have light in the background, or when you have a black background. It depends how these insects look. And the difficulty to observe and find some of the tiny little worms is twofold, because of their size and because of their camouflage. So worms usually are the same color as where they are born, what they feed on, where they live. And that is chachmosay shel yoytze bereishis. Every living creature must have a mean to defend itself from predators. Some animals could defend themselves by fighting back. Well, the African buffalo, the bison, some other herbivores, they're not carnivores, they're not flesh eaters, but they could put up a fight and defend themselves. Some animals defend themselves by their speed. So the deer, the antelope, and many others are faster than the ones that are out to eat them up. And that is the way they defend themselves. Many other animals, their method of defense is camouflage, and the predators have difficulty finding them. So most of the worms that live on fruits or vegetables are the same color as the food they feed on and where they are born and breed. These two reasons make it very difficult to find them. Would we say loy mitnetarim alach hashoris and there is no iser of taloim? No. We find many sources in the Poskim that even tiny little worms, and those that are very difficult to find and very difficult to separate, there still is an iser taloim, and you need to do your best to get rid of them. Chochma Sodom, Yoredei Lamed Ches Sif Chof Ches. He's dealing with fish worms. And the Chochma Sodom writes, these worms are transparent because they breed in water and on fish. So they're transparent. And the only way to notice and see them is with two tiny little black dots with their eyes, because all the rest of their body is transparent and you can't see them. And the Chayodom describes how you could see these worms. If you put them into a cup of water and you look at that water and a clear day, you could see them swimming around. So by their motion, you become aware that they exist. And Afal Piken, he says, we need to remove that worms, those worms, and that's the Issa Goma. So the worms are small. They are almost impossible to see. But still, that is an Issa. Many poskim throughout the ages dealt with water that contained worms. Baruch Hashem, our water is purified. It's clean. It's healthy. That wasn't the case throughout the ages in Europe and in other countries. And in many chulis form, we find a problem about water that was infested with tiny little insects. Och Shulchan Simalamed Vav. And that is the same source in which the Och Shulchan writes, what the naked eye cannot see is not prohibited. But he writes, but those tiny little worms that are found in flour, in water, even though they're very small, very hard to find, but there is an Iser of Telon. The Netziv in Shalas Chuvas Meshav Dovah, Chelik Beis HaMachov Zayin Chov Ches, deals with a town. The only water they had was from a nearby pond. But water from that pond was full of tiny little insects, which you cannot see. Only Kedeged HaShemesh, when you hold the cup against the sun, and the sun rays, the sunlight is in the background. And if they cannot use that water, the only other source of water would be from a well outside of town, and that well is privately owned, and the owner of the well will ask for a horrendous price, sending water to the people in the neighboring town. So then the Netziv writes, yes, I know they're full of germs, do your best, try to sift them out, and you could drink the water. But he doesn't say that those worms are not prohibited. They are. Rabbi Yeshua Lema Kutna was one of the greatest Gedolim in Poland. And whenever I mention his form, I just relate an amusing anecdote. His name was Yisrael Elio Yoshua. His father gave him three names. The names of the Baal Shem Tov, the Vilna Gaon, and the Pnei Yoshua. You could put together no better coalition than that. Three giants. The Baal Shem Tov, the Vilna Gaon, and the Pnei Yehoshua. And ultimately grew to be one of the greatest Gedolim in Poland. Was that the cause of his names? Maybe. Maybe not. I know some boys, some youngsters had great names, and not always did it work out so great. And I know some people that have very simple names, good Jews, and they became great Gedolim and great Tzaddikim. So it's not a guaranteed formula. But anyway, Hagoyen, Rabbi Saul Elio Yoshua Trunk, Yeshua's Malko, Yishalas Achuvah, Simen Yud Gimel, he deals with that very same question, water from ponds, from rivers, that has insects. And he says the same. You need to check that water against the sun, and you need to do your best to remove those insects. Otherwise, you can't use that water. The two most important sources are the Pri Chodesh and the Bach, because they're the two earliest sources in Yoredei Simen Pei Dalet. Both say, as small as insects might be, and as difficult as they are to remove, they still are prohibited. So you need to look for those insects and remove them in the most efficient way. The only ways that you have the means to do so. So the fact that these worms or these insects are very small and difficult to find and observe and remove does not mean that there is no Issa. So obviously in this specific sugya, Lo Nitnetara Malach HaShoras is only something that is beyond our means. You do not need to use a telescope or a magnifying glass or any other artificial means, but whatever the naked eye could see and you could remove is also, and you need to stay away from those insects. So I mentioned the tshuva that I wrote, Minchaso Shechelek Aleph Mem Aleph, but there's also another tshuva, Minchaso Shechelek Gimel Shalos, a tshuva Simen Nun. Nun Aleph, Nun Beis, and Nun Gimel, I think there are four tshuvas regarding Teloim. And I also spoke about the question of Bitul Barov, which is also a big controversy. Reb Shloime Kluger, in an other tshuva, Tuf Tam Vedas, Chele Gimel Kuf Samech Dalad, writes, those tiny little worms that are so difficult to remove and so difficult to find, make it in their bottle barayiv. Reb Meir Alek, Minchas Pitim, Yoradei Pei Dalad, says, no, as long as you could see them, they're not bottle barayiv. Reb Shloime Kluger's contemporary, Shoyel HaMeishev, they were the two greatest gedolim of that generation. Madura Aleph, Chelik Beis, Mem Hei, as a machlokes with the Beis Shloime, also a contemporary, regarding little worms that are found in the liver of animals. I'm not familiar with those worms. I assume today, probably, that question is no longer relevant. But the Beis Shloime, Tshuvas Beis Shloime Yoredeya, Pei Aleph, Pei Beis, Saf Sim and Pei Vav, Asers, to use that liver, unless you remove the worms. Shoyel HaMeishev says they're bottle barav because they're those so difficult to find. Marsham was a great admirer of the Shoyel HaMeishev, but here he comes out adamantly against them and he says, Ein lis my cholov. The Marsham, his seifan yoredei l'chastreifes gilui das, simen mem aleph, sivkot and ted zayin. Four different oisias he deals with l'chastolom, yud gimel yud dalet tezvov tezayin. He says, as long as you could see those insects, they're not bottle barov, because it's nikar la'ayin. So in my svarim, I dealt with both parts of this question. Tiny little worms or insects, you could see, but it's hard to see, it's hard to find because of the size, because of the shape, because of the color, hard to remove. One question would be, the other would be, is it bottle barayiv? Most achroinim are machmir, both counts. But there still is a relevant question. When those germs are so tiny, you could see them. But in no way could you see the form of an insect. What you see is a tiny little speck of black. Could be a thousand things. Nature is beautiful. Some of it is, some of it isn't. And in every fruit and every vegetable, they're not perfect. They're not made in a factory out of plastic. And they're full of tiny little blemishes. We're not aware of that only once a year when you buy an esrig. So when you buy an esrig and you use your magnifying glass and you go under a light, and it takes you 10 minutes to look at the esrog, and you see a lot of little dots. Green, brown, black, and blue. Most of them ain't worms. So what is the din when you see a tiny little speck of black? You see it without any artificial means, but you can't see what it is. And then the mumche, after doing 10 years of research, he says, this is probably an insect. Maybe, maybe not. Would we say Lo Nitnetoyla Malach HaShoris? Would we say it's a bottle barov? Maybe. I think so. So this is a matter of discussion and argument between present-day Gedolim. Some bring in the name of Reb Shmuel Zalman Rav El Yosef. If you could see it, then it's prohibited. You need to be choishish. Maybe it's a worm. But I think Lo Nitnetoyla Malach HaShoris. Do I need to stay away of every black or brown little speck? I mean, ain't le dove a seif. And if I can't see it's a worm, This is included in Loinit Netela Malacha Shoris. Rabbi Yeshua Noiviot, Zecher Tzadik Lavrocha Shmir Shabbos Garchosa. Perek Gimel, Ha'ora Kuf Hei. In the new edition, it's Ha'ora Kuf Yud Zayin, brings the name of Rabbi Shmuel Zalman. You could see it, but you can't see what it is. You don't see the form. You don't see legs. You don't see antenna. You don't see eyes. You don't see form. All you see is something which is tiny and dark and black. That's not a Isra. And you cannot call it Sheretz or Sheretz Aros. Unless you see it moving around. If you see it's moving, then obviously it's a living organism. Otherwise it wouldn't move. And I think that is Nochen LaHalacha. And even if we say this does not go into the category of but it is Mestaver, that at least it's Botel Beroiv. And it's not defined as a Dovera Nikar, and definitely not defined as a Beria. Because Bria has a Chashivus. You can't give a Chashivus of a Bria to something that you don't even know what it is. You can't see what it is. All you see is a tiny little speck. That is definitely not a Bria, and I think it would be Botel Beroiv. So these halachos are very complicated, and it's difficult to define exactly size, form, color. Generally, these shurim are not designated for Psak Halacha Lamaisa.
Kol Halashon.
I give shurim Halacha Lamaisa in Koilel, in the different Koilelim I give shurim in. The weekly shir is more about analyzing sugyas and shashua shel Torah, to see the beauty of Torah, the complexity of Torah, the clarity of Torah. That is my objective. So once again, I have no intention now to giving clear psak, but rather discussing the fundamentals in Hilchos Teloam, and especially the unique shilas that come out in our generation when we have the tools and we have the means, and we know so much about microorganisms, and we know so much about the invisible and the tiny little world we live in. So sometimes it's hard to imagine, but now with COVID-19, it's very easy to imagine. Yes, there's an invisible world out there. And when you cough or sneeze, even when you talk, you are dispersing thousands, millions of tiny little particles that the naked eye doesn't see. Little droplets of saliva, which contain viruses, bacteria. And you disperse in many different ways, even when you breathe, organisms. So whatever the naked eye can't see, in halacha is not relevant. In medicine it is. And how? So, by halachic definition, these are non-existent. In biology, oh, they are. And microbiologists know a great deal about them. So, once again, our question is, when a little insect, a little organism, is big enough to see it without artificial means, it's far bigger than bacteria or viruses, but it is so small that you cannot really see its form. Would that be usur or not? If it would be usur, would it be Botel Beroiv or not? That is open for discussion. One of the fascinating sources, which none of the Achronim brought, is Piskei Maharash, who was the Rebbe of the Maharil, going back more than 700 years. And he is the first one that deals about Mei Be'erois, water from the wells that have tiny little worms that are difficult to see. Oni neged zrichas ha-shemesh. And I don't know whether it means b'shas ha-zricha or against sunlight. Probably against sunlight. B'shas ha-zricha, it's not that light. So why would it be associated with a zricha? Probably he means b'shosh ha-shemesh zoreach. And he writes, there is no Isser at all. Fascinating and surprising. Goes against all the Achronim that I mentioned. Unless we would argue, it depends how big. So most of the Achronim I quoted are dealing with insects and worms. The difficulty to find them and see them and observe them is because of the camouflage. Like the ones in the water that are transparent. Like the ones in Chassid that are green. So maybe the Marash deals with something that is so small that it's almost impossible to see. But nevertheless, this is a source which none of the Achronim bring. They didn't have Piskei HaMarash in their time. But it's an important source because the Ramon Choshemishpat Semachof Eisiv Beis writes, when we find something in the Rishonim that the Achronim weren't aware of, if the Achronim were aware of, and they disagree, then Alochik Basroi, Alochik Achronim. But if that source of the Rishonim was unknown to the Achronim, we should assume that if those Achronim would see this Rishon, Hoyom Avatlim Da'atom, Im Rishonim Kamaloch Amonu Kibnei Yodom, Im Rishonim Kibnei Yodom Amonu Kichamoyrim, V'alochik Rishonim. Shach, I think, at Siv Kotten, I don't recall which Siv Kotten, maybe Siv Kotten Vav, Shach strengthens what is found in the Ramah. And this is a very important source of Piskei Marash, who was the Rebbe of the Maharil, Megidolei Ashkenaz. So at least it could be a source, at least to argue, that when those organisms are so small that you cannot even see their form, that would not answer. Shas HaTshuvas Shivas Tzion, Bnoi Mamala Makoyma Shalanoi de Biyuda, Reb Shmuel Lando, was the Rav in Prague after his father passed away. Semachov Chesi comes up with a totally new argument, which tosses up the entire sugya. And he writes, if you swallow a worm and you weren't aware that you're eating a worm, it's a masasik. And a masasik is not an isidiraisa at all. Rebbe Kiva Eger, Tshuva Rebbe Kiva Eger, Kama Siman Ches, is the only Achron that says, Mesasek Pota Mekorban, but it's in the Siddi Uraisa. Everyone disagrees with Rebbe Kiva Eger. So this is a totally new Heora of the Shiva Tzion. Imre Bino, Rebbe Meir Auerbach, who was one of the greatest Gedolim in Poland, and Sof Yomav in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, Hilchas Bosa Bechol of Siman Beis, Shalash Tshuva is his Oiris Tshuva. He was the son of the Ksav Sofer, an enikel of the Ksav Sofer. Chelik Beis Simalamed Zayin quotes his uncle, who carried the same name. Son, second son of the Ksav Sofer, Reb Shimon Sofer. And Reb Shimon Sofer number two quotes his uncle, Reb Shimon Sofer number one, this very same argument. He doesn't bring the Shiva Tzion, who was one generation older than him. So all these come up with a new aura. He's not aware that he's eating worms, it's a masasik. But this cannot be, because it goes against all the poiskim. Hundreds of years, the Bach, the Prichodesh, and all the Achroinim. So why do we need bedikas teloim? Why do you need bedika bachlal? If he has no intention of eating worms, it's a masasik. I think it's a mistake. Misasik is only when he's not aware he's doing an Aveira. He's not aware that he's doing a Maisa Aveira. Kasova Roiku Ubeloi, that's Misasik. When a person thinks he's swallowing saliva, but it's not saliva. It's Yayin Nesach that he has in his mouth. But he forgot that he put something in his mouth. And he thinks he's just swallowing saliva. Swallowing saliva is not defined as achila. It's something natural. It's something you do without intention. It's like blinking your eyes, like your lungs breathing. That is misasik. But nischaven lechol bosav talev oslo olo biyode bosachazi is a shoygeg. It's not misasik. It's an iser b'shoygeg. So you take a spoonful of salad and you put it into your mouth and you eat. You have clear intention to eat whatever you put in your mouth. You're not aware that there are germs, that there are insects, that there are worms. That's not a misasik, that's a shoygeg. Because you have intention to eat what you put into your mouth. And what you put into your mouth contains worms. So that's not a mesasek. That's a shoygeg. That's exactly like neschaven lechol basol tala va'ola biyodei basechazia, and that's an isagomer b'shoygeg. So you need to stay away, especially if you know there might be worms and you don't do a bedik. It's no longer a shoygeg. Then it's a posheya korev lemezid. So that is my idea. However, the Marsham, the source I quoted, Gilui Das, Yoredei, Elchas Treifa Sememet, Sivkot Mem Aleph, the Marsham does argue, but if those insects are so small, there's no Hanoas Groinoi, there's no Hanoas Mayav, Chulin Kuv Gimalomet Bezis, or Machloikes Ebyorchen, or Eshlokesh, regarding Macholas Asuris. What is the essence of Macholas Asuris? Hanoas Groinoi, Hanoas Mayav. But the Mesham says, if these worms are so tiny and so few, no benefit, no pleasure, nothing. No, no, it's going to no, so why would it be also? It's a ha'ora. I want to say more than that. If we're dealing with, I can't even call them worms, but organisms that are so small. You see them, but you can't see what they are. They're so tiny. I'm not sure this could be defined as achila. What is achila? What is eating? You put something in your mouth. You're aware. You feel it in your mouth, on your tongue, and you swallow it, which means you're using the muscles of your mouth, of your tongue, to push it down your throat. You can't swallow a speck of dust. No, it doesn't work. So if this insect is so tiny, like the tip of a needle, I don't think it's shayach maisa achila. It'll probably go down to your belly at some stage with your saliva. But it is so small, you're not even aware it's in your mouth, in your tongue. And you won't swallow it down. It'll just stay either between your teeth or in your gums or on your, or on your tongue. When you're not even aware it's in your mouth, would that be defined as achila, tzorachiyun? So yes, when those worms are part of a strawberry or of an apple or of a salad, and you swallow whatever, you swallow the salad, it's going to go down as well. But my suffix is, could that be defined as a dvariso, as iser shrotzim, if it's so small and each one into itself, it's not shaykh maysa achila, sorachiyun. So I'm just continuing the strain of thought of the Marsham and taking it to a greater extreme. So as I said, my intention today was not paskening alochas, but just giving you a brief overview and analysis of the various different chakiris and shailas that come up in our days more than in the past. The sources we quoted are all from the past, but today we are far more aware of tiny little insects and organisms that are almost everywhere. And so on one hand, we're dealing with the Issa Chomer. Teloam is the Issa Chomer. And you need to do your best to stay away. Like all Macholas Asuris, besides the Issa, Chazal also say, Metamtim Libay Shalodam, and we all want a pure heart and a pure mind. And our hearts and minds are affected by Macholas Asuris, so do your best to stay away from any chashash macholas asuris. So in this week's parasha, Ra'eyu Noichin Eisen Afanecha Mayoim Brocho Uklolo. Ra'ey is a loshin yochid. Lefnechem is a loshin rabim. So why does the posse go from loshin yochid to loshin rabim? Let me share with you two thoughts. I heard many times from my great Rebbe, the Tzanze Rebbe Zechat Tzadik Lavrocha, the Divrei Yatzev, quoted the Chofetz Chaim. I never checked it out historically, but that's what I heard from my Rebbe, that the Chofetz Chaim said that the Malamed, the teacher of Leibel Burenstein, also litness aden for the millions that were lost to the Jewish people because he neglected his Talmud. Who was Leibel Burenstein? Leon Trotsky, one of the leaders of the Bolshevik Revolution, was a Jew. And as a child, his name was Leibel Burenstein, and he learned Cheder. And obviously, his Malamed didn't do a very great job. So the Chofetz Chaim said he bears responsibility for the millions that were lost to the Jewish people as a result, an indirect result, of what the Malama did or did not do. Midat Toive Merubim and Midat Sparoni, as Dor HaChaim says, regarding the Miyaldis Uvivri Yishifran Puo, so the Chaim explains, they multiplied by leaps and bounds. And that is to the benefit of the Miyaldos, because they are rewarded not only for the little children that they saved and they did not kill and destroy, but all their children and grandchildren and all their descendants. That is added on to the reward of the Miyaldos. It goes both ways. You bear responsibility not only for the direct acts and deeds that you do or do not do, but also indirectly. Latav ulamutav. To the better and to the worst. Re'ei unoichi noisen lifneichem. Another thought, some of us think, if you're a great Talmud Chacham, you're a great Masmid, that's enough. You don't need to care for others. Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Shoftim, Parshas Mishpotim. There's an amazing story, an amazing medrash about Rav Asi. Rav Asi was one of the greatest Tamilon. And before he passed away, he was bitterly crying. And as Talmidim asked him, Rabbi, lama atu boicha? What do you have to be afraid of? Why are you afraid? Why are you crying? Is there any part of Torah you didn't learn? Is there any part of Torah you didn't teach? You were such a masmid. You weren't oisik b'tzorcha tzibah because you were such a masmid. And Avasi says, that is why I'm crying. And that is what I'm afraid of. I wasn't toisig b'tzor chitzibu. We have not come to this world just to care for ourselves, for our ruchnis, for our oylam haba, no. Reb Itzele Mevaloshin, in his Akdomet to Nefesh HaChaim, quotes what his great father used to give him, Musa, Reb Chaim, used to give Musa to his son, and he says, you don't do enough for others. You don't care enough for the tzibu. We have come to this world not only for our own benefit, not only to care about our own Olam Haba. Going back tens of years, I remember when my great Rebbe was Miyasid Kol Shas and Mifal Shas, and he had these huge ideas and plans to bring the idea of Chazorah, and of covering a lot of Bekiyas to the Torah world. And I remember I once was in this room, and somebody said, there's another Kodesh Shas here, and another Kodesh Shas there, and he thought that the Rebbe would be disturbed, and he was so happy, and he said, I cannot eat the entire Leviyasin on my own, with a touch of humor. And he says, I'll be so happy to share with others. So he was so happy that it is not only he, but he inspired others to do the same. So we have come to this world not only to care for ourselves. We are all part of one huge people. Ki ish echod ubelev echod. Kulanu b'nei ish echod nachnu. We all serve the same purpose. We are all here to memekad Hashem Shemayim. And we need to care for one another. And Gedol Yisrael spent so much time just caring for others. So Rav Asi was crying, and his Talmidim didn't understand why. You learned all day and all night. You were the greatest masmid. You never even wasted your time in Anyoni Tzibur. And Rav Asi said, that is not a waste of time. That is a chiyuv. It's an obligation. And I wasn't Yoytziya Dechoiva. I did not dedicate enough time for Tzorcha Tzibur and for others. Yisachar Vayar Elokim Ki Tov V'yeit Shichmoy Lizboil. Chazal say, it's not Chazal, the Sephorno, Ol Torah v'Oil HaTzibur. So Yisachar was the Shevet of Torah. And in Medrash Shabbat Parshas Nosoi, Chazal say Yisachar loved Torah more than all the other Shvotim. More than all the others. But Yisachar, v'yeit shichmo elizvar oil Torah v'oil HaTzibur. All Torah is not enough. Seder Hayam, that amazing, magnificent Sefer. Seder Tisha B'Av, and I'm just reading his Loshon. Elo achzika bedas lahakima, ulaharima, hem anakrom amud shamayim, vehem atzokei eretz, vehem amamidim es kol olam kuloi, v'yesh lahem zchus kemoshe Rabbeinu b'dayroi. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah, kemoshe mepi agvura. Moshe Rabbeinu also carried us in his lap, kasha yisua oimene seyoinek. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael, with love and compassion and caring. Yesh lahem zchus kemoshe Rabbeinu b'dayroi, asher zocho v'zikes harabim. Vehema mitziyim yokor mizoylel, yesh ma'ayin, vehem shutafim leboire yizborech shemoi, v'briyesu oylam, u'behamadosoi. Avaloi mekol echod rav or rabban, but if everyone would say, a rav or a ramban, every rav, every tanat chocham, every godel will say, sholom olay nafshi, ולהסתגר בתוך ביסי ללמוד או לעסוק בחפצי שמיים, לא זו הדרך הרצויו בעיני השם. We're here to care for each other. ראי, each and every one of you, אונייך ינויסן לפניכם. You are part of a much greater entity. It's not only about you. You are part of Klal Yisrael. Each of you has his family, his community, his chaverim, his neighbors, his people. And we are here to care for each other. Ish es re'eyu yazero, o la'ochev yoimer chazak. Shekodesh Baruch Yerachem aleinu, we should take this magefa away. We should only know days of simcha and naches bar yesgufe v'nohera ma'aliyah. Kodesh Baruch Hu should send Refuah Shleima L'Choilei Amo Yisroel. We should share B'Soreis Tovus, and we should be Zoicha B'Korach Tobias Moshiach Tzedkeinu B'Mheiro V'Yomeinu Amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.